Hello and welcome to the Webster Report, the second showing for today. Again, it was one that was a bit more organised, but I've organised these things with time zone differences before, and either party or both parties end up getting it wrong at times. But it's not been without its technical issues, and I'm not going to give an introduction because whoever's watching is going to know who my guest is. It's Vinny Eastwood. I wanted him on at the first show because he was the first one that gave me the platform for me to be able to start boring you all to death with the Bills of Exchange Act 1882. And so he started it off, and I wanted him to be the first. But Vinny has had a bit of a sabbatical, and well, a sabbatical normally means that you get a rest. But you've got a different side to that story, Vin, I believe.
Yeah, it's not ideal, right? Well, the real problem is, like, you've got many people around the world who know who you are and ask you to do stuff for them, that kind of thing. So when you go on holiday, they don't know then and still keep contacting you and ringing you and asking you to do things that you don't want to do. And you start getting really angry and kind of upset with people that they don't know that you're on holiday because they don't actually follow your work or anything like that, but they work with you and that sort of thing. So if you, it's just, yeah. I was just trying to rest, and then the phone just kept ringing all the time, and people kept messaging me all the time, and I keep getting Skype messages and emails. Just doesn't stop, right? And I didn't get much work done. I was just, like, really depressed because right in the middle of my break as well, I should have been off social media. Ideally, that's probably what I should have done.
Oh, it's difficult, isn't it?
I mean, Facebook's like the Godfather, Just when I thought I was out, they
Yeah.
pull me back in.
You've all got the addiction, man.
It is, and I'm just was thinking about my coffee addiction and cigarettes and weed and sex and all these other things that I reward myself with, because of the fact that, hey, I'm tired, I'm miserable, or whatever. And I realize, like, hold on a second, I'm celebrating early, and I'm not resting enough, and that's causing me to become bitter and jaded and cynical. Let's try to change tact a little bit. And so I'm not going to tell anybody what I'm doing differently or anything like that, because as soon as you get people's praise, well, hell, you're changing your life and stuff like that when you've only just begun, you stop doing it, don't you? Because you've already gotten the accolades for what it is you're trying to do. And it's like, self-improvement is a very, very difficult thing, especially when you've got a million jobs.
You can only do what you can do, pal. As we were talking off air about it, I can only do what I can do. But the information that people, I mean, you as we were talking, I don't know where you want to start as regards to or where you want to go back to. But the last time that we communicated was the Christchurch issue, and that's when all the filth started to turn up at your house, and you started to be harassed, and then you was going on your sabbatical. So, has that when you're all over the target, all that flak is coming at you. You're touching on information that is vital because people just agree a narrative, especially the majority that aren't influenced by that, and the agreed narrative doesn't always seem to be the truth, does
If anything, the agreed narrative is very rarely the truth.
It's just an agreed narrative. That's history, right?
Well, it's just more the fact that we lie to ourselves and we lie to each other, and we tolerate that,
Yeah.
and so
Apparently, it's
what?
illegal, it's racist, and all kinds now.
Oh, one can only hope. Is it toxic masculinity? Is it racism? Is it Nazism? Is it freaking bigotism? Whatever ism,
Gotta be all of the above. All of the above.
it's just, I'm afraid for the first time in my career. I mean, I was
Right.
always kind of concerned about getting exterminated, being enslaved, that kind of thing, but it was always down the track. And I said to myself, you know, it'd be a good idea to just go take things easy, don't go too big too quickly, and all of that kind of crap. But I think my theory was that you could get 100,000 subscribers, right?
Yeah.
And then you become a target, right? So my goal was to get like maybe 100,000, or at least I thought you get 1 million subscribers, then you become a target. So I thought if I get 100,000 subscribers and then help 10 other people through the course of their careers to get 100,000 subscribers each, then I'd do the same amount of damage to the New World Order with the truth that it's generating without exposing myself as a target. But unfortunately, the day after that kind of thing, I realized that we're all targets because they had the algorithms ready to go. All right. New Zealand government says, okay, you can't watch this. You can't talk about this. And all of a sudden, YouTube and Facebook are immediately able to censor you in real time. Right. That takes years of preparation to be able to stage a platform like that, to be able to do that. This accident, this attack didn't come out of nowhere, you know. Either that, or they were just waiting for it to happen, and had all these huge amounts of stuff just waiting to for the right opportunity or whatever. And that's best case scenario. Best case scenario is YouTube, Facebook, Google, and the New Zealand government were waiting for a huge attack to happen so they could implement a whole bunch of draconian measures that they were coming up with. Now, worst case scenario, they did it. Okay, so Facebook took itself down for 2 days before the Christchurch attack. And then what happens when it comes back? One guy gets a live stream out that gives the government and the global New World Order system justification to delete and censor absolutely everybody who doesn't spin the official narrative of just this one incident. It was like a litmus test. I was a moth to the flame.
Yeah, okay, and I was stupid. Certainly
adds up,
doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, the thing is, just before this happened, I'd had a conversation with Mark Passio and James Corbett, and they were like, don't get involved in the 24-hour news cycle and all of this other kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, New Zealand's 9/11 happened. Who's the only New Zealand journalist the American media actually have ever heard of? Me. So who's responsible for then reporting that as best as can be reported? Me. Okay. Now, I got a number of other Kiwis and things like that on the play, the people who were locals or people who were down there or people who knew what they were talking about, that kind of thing, as well as a lot of international experts on it. And, you know, hands down, I can categorically say I did the best coverage on the Christchurch mosque massacre. Better than all of the mainstream media, better than all the alternative media, for two reasons. Number one, like the alternative media, I was telling the truth. Mainstream media didn't do that, so their coverage was crap. Number two, unlike the alternative media, I actually went down there and actually talked to witnesses and victims and that kind of thing. None of the alternative media did that. So I'm the only person in the world who told the truth and went down there and talked to people.
You actually spoke to eyewitnesses, which is the paramount in law, apparently.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because when we did go down there, I was very, very afraid. My listener threw $1,200. He offered $1,000, and I said, give me $1,200. Because I wanted to give Ben Vigen, who was a journalist down here, a couple of $100 to help him out. Because he was doing such great analysis of it, and I'd had him on my show a couple of times about it. And we raised thousands, I think maybe like 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 in the month, you know, that kind of thing, that was able to get me like a $2,500 iPhone. I never even used smartphones and things like that. And that allowed me to film and upload the interviews that I did with those people down there sort of in real time. That enabled me to pay for the plane tickets, that enabled to pay for our accommodation and food and so on and so forth. And so many things were donated. I mean, I got stopped while I was walking through a car park, but not one, but two separate listeners to the show who recognized me and heard me talking and came up to say hi, right? A lot of real positive vibes down there for the work I was doing, man, because, again, the only one who was in New Zealand and telling the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a question in the chat room about recent court case where the guy's been sentenced to 20 months for showing that video. What's your opinion on that? Because I've heard...
No, he wasn't showing the video. He shared the video.
That's what I'm saying.
And it wasn't 20 months. It was 21 months. So this is unprecedented levels of censorship. And I think that this is the litmus test. So what I meant before about moth to the flame and how I'm an idiot. And by the way, Paul, you might want to go put a light on or something because it's getting a bit dark there. Is that I kind of went around and started doing this coverage. So when my listeners gave me all this money to go down there and do this, the first thing that happened to me wasn't, yay, I've got all this money. It was, oh, shit. You know, because this is a dangerous situation. I knew I would be in the crosshairs on this one. And the second after I freaking announced on my show that I was going down to Christchurch, that's when the cops showed up. So it was just like a cop down there on my thing. I was like, okay, let's put the knives off of the stove. Let's put my weed away. Hi, officer. How you doing?
Don't let him in. Don't let him in. They're like vampires, them people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have specific experiences with police where they said, hey, be honest with us and we'll go easy on you.
You didn't fall for that one, please. Come on.
I'd only just turned 19, and this was my first ever experience with the bastards. With the police. And so naturally I'd say, yeah, absolutely. I'm a drug dealer and I've been selling weed for about 6 months, buying the ounces for about 400 and then sticking them into tinnies. And, you know, just like they were like held back by my honesty, that kind of thing. So
I'm so surprised. Like, can you sign this?
No. That was the kicker, because they didn't tell me I was under arrest and didn't advise me of my right. My entire confession had to be struck off, okay? It was my honesty, my straightforward, naive honesty that saved me. The police even said, we think he's just a very naive young man and we're not seeking jail for him. Selling cannabis in New Zealand, if you get caught with a couple of tinnies or something like that and you're selling weed, that's 8 years in prison, first offence, no diversion. Yeah, that's an indictable
mandatory
charge.
Mandatory,
right, so having a little bit of weed, right, I had a third of an ounce of weed rolled up in tinnies for sale, and I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years. Now that's 3 years longer than accidentally killing someone. That's manslaughter, 5 years. All right, I had a little bit of weed that people wanted, and I would be punished harsher than somebody who had accidentally killed another human life. Okay?
Madness,
isn't
it?
That is how they treat cannabis down here in New Zealand. You know, people wonder, it's like, how come New Zealand spends the highest per capita on busting people for cannabis? You know, how come
it's a dictatorship?
And how come we've got the highest cannabis use in the world per capita, with the exception of Jamaica? You know, we've got a lot of weed in this country, and we treat it harsher than anybody. And so that's my experience with the police. And ever since then, panic attacks. Okay, I never had panic attacks before. Never had complex post-traumatic stress disorder before, but now I have them both. Okay, thank you, police. Okay.
It
wasn't getting arrested that did this. Okay. It was the betrayal. When you tell somebody who you think you're supposed to be able to trust the truth and they betray you, that is what causes all that stress. And then if you have your entire life, like I was going to jail for up to 8 years, for a whole month. If that occupies your mind for between 1 month and 6 months, you're not going to be the same.
It causes brain damage. I had this conversation with my guest, David Adelman, earlier on today, who's a teacher who was talking about the education system, schooling system, he referred to it as in his book. that it causes brain damage because it's the trauma. That's what the education system does. It traumatizes the children slowly. So we've been under attack for a long time. It's interesting you brought that up, Paul.
Yeah. Well, everything links into everything else, you know. 9/11 yeah. links with fluoride, vaccines link with chemtrails. And
Agenda 21.
You know, actually, Agenda 21, that's it. Full stop. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, name me a conspiracy. Any conspiracy. Agenda 21. Full stop. Comma, comma. Rule off. Every single conspiracy is tied to that. It's the conspiracy. And if you understand that, people have this phenomenon. Oh, I don't understand. Why would people do that? I don't know. That kind of thing. And they're all confused. If you know what Agenda 21 is, if you know what it actually is about, you will no longer ever be confused about anything that happens that's immoral in your society. You know that that's the plan, you know?
They haven't, they've not hid it. It's there. You can go and read it. It's a document like that, but you can watch it summed up in 10 minutes on loads of YouTube videos, giving you breakdowns from professors and all kinds. But, you know, Strictly Come Dancing's on.
I'm just like sitting here, like I'm in a South Pacific island nation that is kind of like the Cayman Islands of the South Pacific. All right, it's a former British colony,
one of the biggest money laundering places in the world.
Except New Zealand is a bigger money laundering place in the world. All right, so you need a former Bank of England. Okay, essentially within that jurisdiction. That's why they use them as tax havens, because the Bank of England has been running the world, for a very long time, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're in a former British colony, the largest frickin' possibility I can tell you about who governs your country is the Bank of England. How do they run your country? They get criminals and psychopaths and wealthy billionaires who have no moral conscience to launder all their money through your corrupt little system. And then they collect all that money and then they bribe all your public officials.
Okay? Stealing all your equity and leaving you with pieces of paper.
Yeah. Okay. So again, Agenda 21. You know, it's just the same old, all the time. And we get depressed. And I think this is understandable that people get depressed when hearing this stuff. And that's why, you know, I'm talking about the lighter side of genocide. I had to stop myself yesterday and remind myself, Vinny, no, you're stressing yourself out, mate. You're stressing yourself out. Remember, it's the lighter side of genocide. Just because you're being exterminated doesn't mean you can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? And then I was just like, that doesn't gel anymore. You know, I almost lost my sense of humor about all this stuff. And losing $900 this month alone from being demonetized, that really, really depresses me. Okay. It's very, very difficult when somebody messes with your money or messes with your home or messes with your family or messes with your career or something like that. These are sort of like the central bolts in your life. And, you know, luckily when one conks out, you've still got the other support mechanisms and that kind of thing built into the system so that
something
you don't
picks
break
you
down.
Up. Something picks you up.
Well, it's just... Got censored the first day of the Christchurch mosque massacre. Then they restricted my ability to live stream. Now I've been demonetized, and I'm pretty sure they're going to delete my channel soon enough. I mean, even right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're on the backup channel, which reminds me, I do need to actually pop the thing into my other one. What was it? Try to go to my main channel and pop stuff in there. I don't know what I'm doing. It's just, yeah. as I say, folks, I'm just really not doing too well with this situation because I've been traumatized by the cops and that kind of thing. It's just stress doesn't roll off my back like it does some people. You know, some people can actually deal with stress, whereas me, I really can't. If there's somebody with power over me, and I cannot I cannot negotiate, argue, or resist, then I've got virtually no other option but despair. And when it comes to,
don't go to court then, mate. particularly against the Bank of England, don't go to court if that'll fuck you up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I had a profound realization that I am ill prepared to handle this fight for people. Okay, I'm not strong enough. I'm too fragile to lead others without fear into the fight that we all got to be going into. You know, I just feel weak and worthless, essentially, because I'm unable to deal with the things that are going. Now, that being said, another thought that I had this morning was my hyper levels of aggression. When things aren't going good or whatever, I'll just have a and my aggression levels can go really stratospheric very, very quickly, like from using a knife to using a bazooka, that kind of thing in 2 seconds, just like that.
Metaphorically speaking, I'm taking it.
No, well, of course, and saw this Navy SEAL giving this preparation about situational awareness, and what that means is you're aware of the situation you're in. You know who's big and can handle themselves, where all the exits are. You know, the Jason Bourne type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that when you're unarmed and you're against an armed assailant, okay. Or there's any kind of differential like that where they've got more power than you and than you do, that kind of thing. Then the problem becomes: how do you make them fear you? How do you catch them off guard? And this kind of thing. And he says you need to turn your level of aggression up to 11 because it'll throw them off. And they'll start to feel fear and they'll react. And in that moment that you've got them just feeling that fear from this really angry, incredibly angry person just coming at them all of a sudden, then you've got them and you can smack them with a roll of pennies and a sock or something like that upside the head, and then you can make your escape. And I was thinking to myself, whoa. YouTube demonetizing everybody, and I see all of these other YouTubers going and getting really aggressive and going, no, you won't censor me. And I haven't done that yet. I haven't done a video talking about how I've been demonetized or been censored or been shadow banned or anything like that. And I don't know why I haven't done it. I just feel sad, like, what's the point of it? And I think that's defeatism, right? And I was having a conversation with a mate the other day about how we've got to defeat defeatism itself, because that's the thing that's actually going to destroy us, isn't whether or not we fight. It's whether or not we think we can win. All right. And if you just lie to yourself and think and say, I can win, I can fight, that kind of thing, the chance of you winning goes up exponentially higher than if you think I've already been beaten and there's no point in fighting. Your chance of victory disappears in that moment. So regardless of what the chances of victory is, we've got to fight for it, I think. And that's why I'm still editing and doing shows and things like that and helping out other people left, right, and center. I'm just sort of like all up in the air at the moment because I don't know what I'm doing for a career. I don't know if I'm doing my band or if I'm producing American Freedom Radio or if I'm doing the Vinnie Eastwood show or if I'm helping out the Legalized Cannabis Party. Or
are you not doing enough? Do you not feel that you're doing enough?
Well, if you're feeling depressed, that's a very good sign that you're not doing enough.
Not really. Not really. You might be doing too much. You might not be doing enough of what you want to do because you're spreading yourself too much. When I tried, I was going through all the anger issues, the grieving issues, everything over the last 10 years. I was going through all that kind of caper whilst trying to tell everybody everything, and I couldn't get anywhere with it. And whatever you were doing back then, I mean, what was it, 2011, something like that, 12, I was on your show, something. Maybe a bit later, definitely 2014. I've been on there a few times. And you gave me those platforms that people were listening to on those other platforms that you just mentioned. So somebody somewhere has heard. If one person has learned, you know, it's worth that. It's what if you look at it, are you trying to find something that's missing from inside yourself outside by doing things that you know that you should be doing because it's right to do, but depression can be caused because there's something missing. And I know that from my personal experiences. So I've been depressed and been trying to do all these things that you at some point, you're one man, one band, unless you've got a very big platform and you can afford £900,000 mansions, you wouldn't be worrying about this, mate. You wouldn't be getting censored because you have the platforms. Even when you're getting censored, you've got...
That's bullshit. That's absolute bullshit. Look what happened to Alex Jones. He not only got censored, he got deleted. And he not only got deleted from one platform, he got deleted from the three most major platforms simultaneously.
But it was his time. He was being slaughtered for it. It was his time. Alex Jones...
No. They did a beta test, all right? They're like, okay, we want to censor absolutely everyone who criticizes the tyranny that we want to impose on the world. Who's the biggest representation of that? He is. Okay, so the problem with censoring people en masse is that you have resistance, okay? People might get angry, they might show problems and make real noise and that kind of thing. So let's just do a beta test. Let's delete him completely, simultaneously. Let's be as overt as possible. And then we'll see how the public react. Now, if the public react incredibly angry and we've taken it too far, then fine. We'll just restore his stuff just like that. No problem, no harm, no foul. Everybody will just go back to sleep. And then we'll try it again someday, you know. But because
the public... What about the furore over this child porn stuff in his email? That legally it stated there was nothing to it, but the dramatic, you know, way he's come out to deny all these allegations that legally said there's nothing in it. They seem to have made a big song and dance. What you're referring to about that as well, is that a second test or another test, shall we say?
Here's the thing. If somebody resists the New World Order, they'll just make shit up about you. Doesn't matter whether you've done it, whether you haven't. They'll find out or they'll just make it up. All right, so it doesn't matter. The point here is they beta tested him, they deleted him, people didn't resist enough, so now they've got more than enough plan to delete everybody else. Everybody else. They're going to delete you. They're going to delete me. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening right now and if you're part of the audience and you have a YouTube channel that doesn't support useless, freaking mindless BS that distracts everybody from the ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery that besets them, you're going to be deleted too. You will. Okay.
But most people don't. Majority.
That's the thing. Most people don't actually make a difference in this world. Only about 4% of people do. Okay, 4% of the population are freaking psychopaths. 4% are narcissists, and about 4% of people might have those same disorders, but they might have a moral conscience. So you've got about 12% of people in society that actually run things and do the damage and free things if they get too bad. Okay, essentially that's what happens when you've got traumatized people like me who you really really mess up. They get really upset about it and they dedicate the rest of their life to destroying you. Okay, and that's the thing. If an ordinary person had done what the police did to me, I would go out there, I would be lying, cheating, stealing, ripping people off, being a fraudster and a salesman and all of that kind of stuff. But because it was
being politics or banking or...
But because it was the government that screwed me over, I want to destroy them. Okay, because they destroyed me, and I think that's only fair. All right, because a deeper realization dawned: is it not personal anymore? Okay, I got over the personal thing about it some time ago. I suddenly realized that, oh my God, I'm not the only person who's been traumatized and permanently affected by the lies and scumbaggery of government. In fact, damn near everybody is to some degree or another. And many, many people have been so badly traumatized that they cannot support the government under any circumstances. All right. And I think that's actually probably the healthiest and smartest thing that any one of us can do right now is to support the people who want to destroy the authority of government and people's belief in it. Because when you believe in a sense of authority that is infallible, that authority invariably gets abused and people wind up getting hurt and destroyed, right? Yeah, and the cycle just happens all over again.
Calendar, then. You can vote, you can change this, can't you?
No. All right, so basically this is what the Trump Q and Flat Earth phenomenons were about, in my opinion. The truth movement was getting very, very strong. Ron Paul was getting really, really a lot of support in the United States. He could have become president. He was getting number one in polls and everything like that. So naturally, they only had the other three candidates appear in the polls, and Ron Paul was just left out of them for some reason.
Every time.
So a think tank thought up this plan. Okay, well, there's a whole bunch of people who realize the immigration is a scam to infiltrate our country and destabilize it culturally, so it can be more easily enveloped by a new world order and a freaking shadow state and what have you. I know people are really upset about the deep state. We know people are really upset about fake news and the mainstream media and things like that. So why don't we just get a candidate who repeats those lies over and over and over again so that people will believe them. Deep state, build the wall, fake news. Oh, my God, he must be on our side. He's not. He never was. You got scammed. You got played because he told you everything that you wanted to hear. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. And then I came up with a great political strategy because it was copied off of his. All right. And he copied it off of who? Adolf Hitler's campaign manager. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's how Vinnie Eastwood's political party is going to get you to abandon your reason and vote for him. Okay, if you don't vote for us, the government's going to kill you. All right, there's a huge enemy. They're here right now, and they're in everything, and I'm the only one who can frickin' save you. And also, I'll give you free money if you vote for me. Okay, bingo. All right, I win. You can look at any campaign in the history of the world. That is what they've done. And they won every single time because the vast majority of voters, and this is the reason why we've got democracies as opposed to republics. Republics honor the individual. Democracy allows the mob to fuck over the individual. Okay. Yeah. So that basically you've got about, I don't know, 50% of the population are below average intelligence and they've all got a vote. Okay, so do the people with a below average intelligence have the mental acuity to know when somebody's lying to them? Blind. Well,
some vote for Labour because the dad did, Vinny.
Okay, that's called being retarded. Now, if you've got approximately 80% of the population that are borderline retarded, about 10% of the population that want to enslave the 80% of the retarded and the 10% of the people who've got a conscience who are willing to do something about it, 90% of the time, your elections will result in the election of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery, 90% of the time. The other 10% of the people there that are casting their votes and things like that, it's first past the post. You don't get in. Okay. And so that means that if you're a retarded voter, you actually have more voting power than anybody who's intelligent or anybody who's capable or anybody who's doing something.
They kept a buffer session between that, the ones that were distracted and the ones that were the working class type people who just did what they needed to do because there was a higher class. That has got very, very thin now. There's the poor. And there's a top class, there's the working class has been stripped. In the last 20 years over here in England, I've just seen so many changes, Vinny.
Mm. Yeah, and none of them are changes for the good, you know. So when
definitely not.
When people elected Obama, hope, change, deep state, wall. Okay, and Bush was tax cuts and whatever the fuck. So basically, they just run these scams again and again and again. But you have to witness at least, in my opinion, three full election cycles and pay complete attention to them before the pattern emerges. Okay, or at least that's how long it took me. So what was it? There was the Bush presidency. I was completely aware from day one till 2008 about what he was on about. the Obama presidency, completely believed everything that he said, and then about maybe 6 months or maybe even not too long afterwards, I realized that everything he said was a lie. And then when Trump came around and told me everything I wanted to hear, I knew that was a lie, and I didn't invest any time or effort into it whatsoever. So once you've seen that election cycle and election promises three times in a row not being fulfilled, you suddenly understand that there's actually a scam going on here. But the difference being, you have to pay attention, okay? Attention for like 10 freaking years, okay? The average person has an attention span of less than 10 freaking seconds. What do you think the likelihood is that they're going to be capable of seeing a scam that's played out over a 10-year time frame? Zero.
Okay? Exactly. That's what happened over here as well, because we had the Thatcher years. And then they went into the mediocre so-called conservative years still. Then we had New Labour. And one of Margaret Thatcher's famous quotes is, what was her greatest achievement as Prime Minister? And she stated New Labour, Tony Blair's New Labour. Then we had them for that period. So in between that, you could have a changeover of Conservative and Labour in between all that, because the politics don't matter. The politics is what we're meant to argue about while what they agree is all under the table, already done, dusted. That's why this EU rubbish, you know, leaving the EU, we left legally in March. That's what the withdrawal act states. We've left legally in March. What are they doing? They're still doing the trade agreements that supersede everything. It's what we're arguing about. You know, Nigel Farage, we're talking about Trump then, and was good. Trump, to me, how I saw it was, Trump was the change that nobody could believe, because he'll never get in. And he did. So everybody's now thinking that could be real change, whatever their opinion is of him. I know people over here who support what Trump's done because he's going to be this saviour. Nigel Farage, with this Brexit party, Vinny, in 7 weeks, he managed to win so many seats in 7 weeks with his new Brexit party. He was bold enough to come out and state that if we haven't left the EU by the 31st of October, we will call for a general election and we will win it. That is the same type of flip-flopping, and people don't see it. People think that Brexit will be real change. So he could be the Trump card.
Yeah. That's the thing. Blackmail and compromise. This was the thing that I was just like, oh my God, I've actually done some things that wouldn't look too good in lights and massive billboards and stuff like that if somebody found out about them. You know, I mean, did I kill anybody? Did I rape anybody? Did I hurt anybody? Did I hurt anybody? No, but the public can be made to believe anything. Okay. Period. The public will believe.
I get where you're coming from.
Anything, ladies and gentlemen, anything.
That's what I mean. To be all over the big platforms, I mean, I know you've made an example with Alex Jones. Whatever the opinions are of Alex Jones, really, you know, behind whatever it is, but the censorship thing, you're correct on. If they can censor something that big that was having an influence, whatever the opinions are, was having an influence, because I certainly bought into a lot of the stuff because I check out information. If the information checks out, Alex Jones as a presenter, he could be a character, he could be all these things. You yourself describe yourself as an artist, but that's the way you present the truth. Now, is the truth, there's got to be truth in what Alex Jones was talking about, because I've read information from there. But you get to a point where you see that there's boundaries from everybody who, what you described earlier as the truth movement, which I still haven't got a clue what that is when people talk about it. Do you know what I mean? If they mean yes, am I looking for the truth? Yes. Because the only thing that I'm really sure of is how little I bloody know about what I've grown up in here, but I know what I've worked out. And it's bonkers to keep towing that line. I couldn't certainly go back to it. When I was at a gas meter fitting once, I was telling the warrants officer all about the bills and what they should be doing with it, and he understood everything. And at the end of it, I said, you're still going to teach your kids to pay the bills, aren't you? And he said, yeah. And it was, he understood that he'd been taught to do this that wasn't good for him. But he still had that fear that he couldn't change that. That's the the programming, the indoctrination of, you touched on it with brain damage because of the trauma that you, when you don't fit into the conformities. And when you stand out, the majority that have managed to conform and don't see anything, of no inkling or for whatever reasons, you do look nuts. I mean, those years that went by where people thought I was nuts. But for 10 years, Vinny, you keep saying the same thing, whether it's a lie, Hitler says, but when you're telling the truth, it stands on its own, whether it's only me or millions of me. But there was nobody 10 years ago coming from that angle. And it's not about, there's no silver bullet here. And I see what you're saying, that you want to tell everybody and get all the word out, but as soon as you get too big, you become that target.
And I now am.
Yeah. And you're even like New Zealand, it's quite a corrupt place. So if you get big in New Zealand, never mind worldwide, you've got to understand what has happened to profiles that have gone against this system. That's why I get where you're coming from, man. The anger phase twisted me for a time, but I mean, again, on your show, I told you that I had armed police called on me and everything. I could never understand that. You know, it's the system, what it uses.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you don't like what's going on? Well, we've got guns. And we can shoot you, and we can get away with it too.
Yeah.
So this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with evil criminals who are murderers and sociopathic liars. Okay. Period. That is what we're up against. Now, what rules do you and I follow, Weber? You know, lots and lots of rules, because we have this thing called conscience, which tells us not to do certain things because they're wrong. Okay. But if you've got a whole bunch of brainwashed, useless pieces of shit, all right, and trust me, if you're wearing a uniform and you're hurting people for a living and you're enjoying it, you're a piece of shit. Okay. If you've got all of those people who don't have a conscience, who don't care about anything except their next paycheck and feeding their family, giving their family a life, regardless of whether or not the fact that their family continue to be slaves as long as they're alive, right, coppers? You know, is that what you want? You know, you're selling out your people, you're selling out your country, and you're selling out your own freaking children for money. And you wonder why everybody hates cops. It's because you're the worst representation, the most visible representation of the evil of society that oppresses all of us. You are the vocal face of it. Okay, so if you don't want to be hated, okay, if you don't want to get assaulted, then stop doing what you're doing. Quit your job. Okay, you can do that at any time. I can assure you that many people in this world have quit their current employment and went on to find this thing called another job, one that actually has some kind of employment benefit. When you got to fight. Like, for example, living in right livelihood. Okay, now what that means is you don't hurt anybody, you don't damage anybody, you don't steal anything, and you don't lie, and yet you make money out of it. That's called time or
loss.
Oh, my God. You mean that people can actually live without lying and obeying people they hate? And yes, you can.
It's utopia, mate. It's utopia.
Yeah.
Madness, right. We spoke before the show, how bonkers. You know, the amount of violence that I see, there's some sick stories coming from all over the world through my newsfeed, Vin. There's violence everywhere. That's not even before you get to the wars that are real and manufactured. Or, you know, in between the rumours, it's unbelievable what's going on. Everything changes every single day. And in between all that, Joe Public's trying to do a 40-hour week and pay bills in a system that he's designed and taught to make sure he stays where he stays, no matter how hard he gets, unless you're selected to climb a ladder to ease. You know, that's, everything's been inverted, Vinny. you know, the creditor-debtor thing is the master has become the slave. Nothing's changed under the sun, has it?
Well, everything's been inverted, and that's what Satanism does.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
You know, and it's just like, okay, what do you mean Satanism? I mean Satanism, all right? Like the real bad stuff. I'm talking about your politicians have sex in their offices with highly paid prostitutes. They go to places that are far away from civilization to rape children on a regular basis. These are the people that you vote for, give your consent to, and are governed by, okay?
Shall we say allegedly?
I'm just doing a wide general brush here, because these are the people that actually control things and actually run things, okay? Yeah. If you're in a position of power and authority, but you don't rape children, you don't have any power or authority, and whatever power and authority you think you've got can just disappear like a child off the streets does. Okay? Do you understand? Ladies and gentlemen, we're not free. We're not going to be unless the people that assail the entirety of humanity, and I mean the entirety. Every single country has representatives from these organizations. Every single human being has mind control little programs in their mind that tells them not to resist this thing. Even the people who are resisting tell themselves not to resist on occasion. Okay? They're really, really good at what they do, folks. Don't underestimate them. In fact, you couldn't even overestimate their evil, their cunning, and their scumbaggery. You couldn't overestimate it because you can't imagine what they have done. Okay? That's the thing. You could try as hard as you might to think of the worst possibilities of your behavior that you could ever exert onto the human race. And they've done that for before breakfast. Okay?
Like, the sociopaths rise to the top in this system and the psychopaths help them. Then you've got the sycophants below that, and then you've got the drones.
Yeah.
In this inverted pyramid.
So it's proto-psychopaths, essentially. So that's my problem. I dealt with this psychopath called Pete Santilli once, and it's just...
I do recall the Pete Santilli, the Pete Santilli episode.
All right, so how I got traumatized by the police was shocking. You know, that was my first traumatic experience. My second traumatic experience is dealing with the Santilli character, right? Very, very intensely traumatic. Constant abuse, trolls being sent at me, had my channel taken down, false flags all over my channel and content and things like that. The guy didn't play by any rules. And as far as I've seen, he's got no consequences whatsoever from any of the platforms from what he's done. All right. He got his channel deleted at some point and this kind of thing. And I was just like, how do I maintain my humanity? All right. And C.S. Lewis did this thing. If you look up on YouTube, C.S. Lewis doodle chivalry. All right. He talked about Lancelot, and the balance of a man is to attain what you would call the Lancelot characteristics. So Lancelot was honest, he was brave, and he was also very meek and very brutal. Okay. It was said that he was the meekest man to ever dine in a hall with ladies, and he was the most brutal adversary to ever be assailed by spear in combat. Right. But he was not half meek and half brutal. He was meek to the nth degree and brutal to the nth degree. And it is the balance, the art form of being a man. That's how you do it. It is said that when King Arthur told him that he was the greatest knight of them all, it is said that he wept like a child beaten. Now, what I'm talking about,
that masculinity balance is what is being attacked.
That's right. So toxic masculinity is being able to adopt the brutal and the meek. Okay. At the moment, we only have meek gentlemen. We don't have any brutal warriors. No wonder we're getting beaten. No wonder we're getting beaten. And no wonder they have to give the cops steroids, because they get all these feminized little guys and stuff like that with little
power. One extreme to the other, mate. One extreme to the other.
without the balance, okay, the left hemisphere, the right hemisphere of the brain. And I had a realization the other day that there aren't actually three parts of the brain, as I've previously thought. There's three connection patterns to other parts of the body. So your action is your gut. Okay, that's the reptilian cortex in the back that's directly connected to the gut, so that when you go with your gut on something, you know, that's what puts you into action. When you're feeling something, you've got the neurons in your heart firing, and that's the mammalian cortex that does all your emotional thinking and family, and all of those feelings come out of there. And then your analytical thinking, this is the only actual part of the brain that's isolated to the brain. This is the neocortex, the frontal lobe, that does all your mathematics and sees things in black and white and looks at facts and details and stuff like that. It's a very, very masculine part of the brain. The feminine part of the brain, on the other hand, thinks about feelings, it thinks about colors, it thinks about overall pictures, and you need a feminine and a masculine aspect of your brain in order to have things work. Okay, it's like in The Matrix when they talked about the father of The Matrix, he, and the mother of The Matrix, she. Now, the father of The Matrix was always trying to balance the equation. And then Neo asked the woman, well, what's your job? She goes, to unbalance it. If you've ever been in the one for any extended period of time, you understand that she tests your masculinity all the time. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you allow yourself to get pushed around, okay, if you don't stand up for yourself, if you're not assertive, and you don't show any of those masculine characteristics, if you don't impose the order, then the feminine chaos will take over, all right? And you see this with really weak beta males and these really, really angry feminist wives that they've got. And they're like, oh, okay, baby, you know, that kind of thing. They've been psychologically castrated, more or less. And we've got to stop that from happening. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, women do this, men do this. This is a generalization. This is how our lives work. And this is also why your wife is called your other half, because your left side of the brain thinks in black and white and logic and analytics and dictates and shit like that. And she thinks with the other half predominantly when she thinks about the general feeling of it, the overall ideas. She can see things that you can't. And you can see things that she can't. And that's why when you have a relationship that works well, both of you see perfectly what needs to be done with your family and the human family at the moment. Okay, so let me just float something by you. Let's say you've got a child, you love them very, very much, and there is a ruthless thug with a club beating them in front of you. Okay, just think about that. And he's got lots of other gang members and things like that around him. So can you protect your child against that? You could try. You can go at them and you just get the shit beaten out of you, maybe killed, and you could get kidnapped anyway. Okay, that is what causes that freeze thing. Okay, fight is your reptilian cortex. Flight is your neocortex. Okay, this is definitely a bad idea. Let's get the hell out of there. That's when you actually did some thinking. All right, but your mammalian cortex, that causes you to go into anxiety or freeze. Okay, it's not fight or flight. It's fight, freeze, flight, because there are three possible ways to encounter any threat. Now, can you fight the government? No, you can't. Can you run from the government? No, you can't. So what do you live in then? A constant state of fucking anxiety because the government still exists and is a ruthless, criminal, sociopathic, scumbaggery entity. Okay.
So well, now think, you understand. Think while you're doing that. Think.
So that's why society's in a constant state of freaking anxiety, because they have an enemy that assails them that they can neither run, fight, or do anything against, all right? That's the basic human perception. And, you know, people will be like, oh, that sounds really negative, Vinny. You can fight against me. You can do all of this, right? And look at all these poor suckers who have tried, okay? And they've all met very, very nasty ends, and some of them just wound up with incredibly nasty lives, all right? Because they fought, and they didn't use technology, and tactics. Okay? Those are the two things that will win any battle, ladies and gentlemen, technology and tactics. And I can guarantee you that the military-industrial complex has unlimited technology and incredible tactics. And unless we are willing to, you know, develop our own technology and our own skills, you know, like, for example, anybody in the chat room and stuff like that, do you know how to do what I'm doing right now? Do you know how to get, or do you know how to get these logos down here? Do you know how to get the green screen working behind me so it's transparent? Do you know how to get the video behind that? You know, that kind of, you can't. You don't know.
Vinny, if you're talking to my chat room, mate, you're stood in just front of a green screen, and I'm being asked whether you can change that to the cop at Anfield.
Okay. Well, see, here's the thing. We'll pop the link to my live video version of this into the. Wait a second. We're on Google Plus, aren't we? So, is there a chat on Google Plus? Oh, there we are. There's a little chat on Google Plus. So we paste that in there. Press return, and then we'll get rid of it. And then if you pop that into the Google Plus chat, then people can actually watch this on the YouTube there, and you'll be able to see all the things that I'm actually doing with this. So I want people to know that this is essentially free to a large degree. Okay, so we're using Google Hangouts. That's free. All right, we're using all sorts of other things. In fact, I'll share my screen just for the YouTube audience, and then also the Google audience as well. I'll just share my screen here. Where are we? Desktop.
For my desktop. Audience, can you tell us what you're looking at?
No. I'm sharing the screen on the Google thing as well. So here we go. We've got a number of things going here. So first of all, we've got Google Chrome. Now that was open just so that I could access my other what's it called? Access my other YouTube channel that's been demonetized, so I could share this link in it. Okay, and now this one here is the live chat room backboard that we've got here on Firefox, and that's got a little pop-out chat here. You can usually just get these chats here and pop them out so that they're on a little panel like this. So you can have your chat running in the middle of the show. So and it's got super chat enabled so people can donate and stuff like that. This is my backup channel, by the way. My main channel is obviously demonetized at the moment, so I didn't see really much point in broadcasting on that one. But I went over to the community version of that and then posted the link in there. So now the reason why we're getting the audio as it is, like, for example, I'm talking through this microphone and that kind of thing, is we've got this little program that costs $120 called a Loopback. One of my listeners donated me some money to pay for this. And essentially what this does is it captures the audio from any program that you've got here and sends it through your speakers. Okay, so over here in system preferences, we've got an input, which is the Scarlett 2 USB. This is the microphone that I'm speaking through. And we have an output, which is loopback audio. So that means anything that's playing on my computer, like I could unmute videos and things like that and play them without having to plug in all sorts of different stuff. And it works really nice. When you're broadcasting across this. Now, and the last thing I'll show you here, just in terms of the technical issues, is the actual OBS studio itself that we've got here. So this is fairly simple to use. Like I tried other broadcasting platforms and things like that, and it's taken me basically a year and a bit maybe to get to this point of live streaming. So
Like I said, it's a lot more technical than me. When you were talking about all that before the show, I said, well, I've got my headphones. That was it for me. There's Alter Edge Media posted that in our chat room that there's beliefs that Google Hangouts is the next to get attacked.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody's going to be attacked. Okay, everybody's going to be enslaved and everybody's going to be exterminated without exception. Okay,
they can't stop now, they've got to carry on.
Yeah, exactly. We cannot stop We have to stay the course on this one, because if we don't, everybody dies. Okay? Everybody becomes extinct. And when I say die and extinct, I mean that in two different ways. If you don't have a conscience, I'm not sure you can be said to really truly be alive, because you're not really truly human. Okay? And in the future, it'll be illegal to live with a conscience. Okay? They'll be able to read your mind with fucking machines, and they'll kill you if you start having a conscience thought, or they'll send you to reprogramming and stuff like that. This is the dark nightmare future, ladies and gentlemen.
China's the good model. China's a good model right now. They've pioneered it in a city there, haven't they? I can't remember the name off the top of my head. It's all social crediting, and it's all facial recognition, and you're grassed up on screens that if you are low in credit, it's honestly, and all the people are like that. On phones, their heads are always down. That's gone. That's a programmed city, isn't it? That's the model.
That's right. Okay, so you won't have any freedom to move, any freedom to question, any freedom to defend yourself, any freedom of any kind, including freedom of thought. You won't even be able to think the thoughts that you like. Okay? You won't be able to consume the content you like or anything. It doesn't matter anymore. You are a slave. Okay? Understand this. You are a slave. Now, here's the question. Are you a willing slave, or are you revolting? All right? Because the slaves have revolted many, many times throughout
the history. Peasants have always been revolting.
Oh, some lovely filth over here, isn't it?
Narco-syndicalist commune. every decision of that officer has to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
I love that. I just watched what do they call Monty Python's Search for the Holy Grail not too long ago, actually. And you know what? Comedy hasn't gotten any better, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh no, it's not. It's been killed, actually. Comedy's dead. The PC stuff has really deflated everything, though.
Even Fawlty Towers has now been censored. Okay,
I know.
They've taken Nazi references out of Fawlty Towers and things like that. You know the reason why all that shit was funny, ladies and gentlemen? Because it was true. It was risque. It was funny to see people in stupid and bad situations.
That's comedy.
During World War One, the most listened to broadcasts on BBC radio were comedies. Okay? Because people wanted to escape from the horror. Right? Now, when we have, on the other hand, today, we have very, very few comedians that are at the level of say, the old Bill Hicks and George Carlin and the Monty Pythons of this world, that kind of thing. I mean, we've still got Steve Hughes until he dies. But this, as you see, basically comedy is dead because all the greatest comedians are dying. All right. And this is not something that we can sit back and just watch happening. It's only something that you realize in retrospect. Oh, yeah, that's right. There hasn't been any new groundbreaking comedy for like 20 years.
It's all the same. Even Hollywood, they're churning out the same old shit. Every film now, if you think back when The Exorcist came out, the impact that it had on the psyche of people, because people fainted, or you know, it was banned, it was all this kind of caper. You sit and watch horror films now, and it's the same old stuff. It's absolute crap what they churn out there, and they make the laundering all this kind of fake money that the Americans don't have. This economy is tintering on the brink, and you know, Trump's at the Wailing Wall. Who's the masters of these people? Where does this rabbit trail go? Because there's so many rabbit trails go so deep. You know, you mentioned the Bank of England running everything. That's a leg. That's an arm of what it is. And you just can't get to that. It's the deeper you go, the more you find.
Yeah, and you never get to the end of it. You know, people say, but you can get to the end of it, and you go, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, essentially, it's an ancient religion Baal worship way back in the day, and there's people who've continued to worship it through their families and been passing down traditions for thousands of years. Why do you think empires rise and then fall? All right, rise and then fall, rise and then fall, rise and then fall, rise and then fall. Why? Because society gets structured via those risings and those fallings, and then whatever's left is much easier to control by the people who continually control society. Okay, so what if there was an ancient bloodline for thousands upon thousands of years that has essentially been controlling humanity with religion, money, and the military? Okay, what if that was the case? What would society look like? Well, society would look like a whole bunch of different people doing different stuff all the time that had an exact same pattern to it regardless, because you'd have somebody who found a working pattern and they implement it, and then nobody ever finds them out because the pattern takes too long for pattern recognition to set in. Okay, so they've got a timeline that they're working to. So what do they believe? They believe that they're gods. Okay, that they are the descendants of an ancient Nephilim bloodline, and they've figured out that if you have, instead of a name, you have no name. Okay, how can you fight against something that you can't even name, ladies and gentlemen? Think about it. You can't, can you? That's why when they created this organization that was tentatively referred to as the Illuminati, but that was never their name, people go, all right, well, how are they going to control everything? Well, they're going to control your religions by infiltrating them, okay? By paying off. Never invade anybody.
Subvert them.
Demoralize them, all right? Now, what that means is you get rid of their morals. How do you do that? You spend one generation, just one, indoctrinating all of their children to believe the same thing. The government is a legitimate authority. And then the next generation will enslave the next generation and will enslave the next generation. Okay? If you believe government has legitimate authority, then you believe in the enslavement and the torture of others. All right? Period. You think government has legitimate authority? You approve of slavery and torture. Period. Okay? That is a really, really nasty realization to come to, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't come to it lightly. Government tortures people and enslaves people. And if you support government, you're supporting torture and slavery. Okay? What's the one constant throughout the entirety of humanity? Torture and slavery. Okay? Because somebody has always tried to have control. And I think that these are basically the same people. Now, David Icke said that, you know, if you get all these people in a room,
isn't it, from time to time, the power passes. It's like when the Saxe-Coburg Gothas were installed in England. That was a different set of families moving in as, you know, these are the people get thrown under the bus. They're the people
These are the figureheads. Okay, yes. So let's say you've got one ring up the top, and there's only about maybe 13 people in that ring. Okay, 13 people controlling the world, right?
Sounds impossible, doesn't it? Sounds impossible to most people.
Yeah, well, that's because most people don't have $1 trillion, unlimited psychiatrists, unlimited doctors, unlimited propagandists, and unlimited military power. Okay, no wonder they can't imagine this.
Unlimited culted information and knowledge from as far back as history, when some people can't even remember what happened 20 years ago, mate.
Some people can't even remember what they had for breakfast.
Exactly.
Now, let's say you were in a fight, all right, and this was an intellectual battle, and you had thousands upon thousands of years of knowledge at your disposal that nobody knows, and the person that you're up against can't remember what they had for breakfast. Who's going to win? Okay. It's not a fair fight, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a fair fight. Okay.
Well, if I controlled your information, Vinny, you would have drove to work in your toilet and shit in your car at home. If I controlled that much of your information, that's how silly it sounds when people are arguing against the truth.
Yeah, and it's designed that way specifically because if you come up in a cult, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in a country, you're in a cult. If you went to school, you're in a cult. If you belong to a political party, you're in a cult. That's why it's called culture. Okay, that's why they call it culture wars, because they're trying to enslave everybody into one cult. Okay, now the ultimate expression of this cult is Satanism, all right? Straight up narcissism, all right? To be specific. What's narcissism, ladies and gentlemen? I'm a narcissist, so I'll frickin' tell you. When I was raised, I was told that I was really special. That gave me a sense of entitlement, and that made me think that I was better than other people. Okay? That's basically it. I want to indoctrinate somebody into a cult. What I do is I tell them they're very, very special, and that makes them better than other people. You've got them. Okay. Oh, you've got this piece of knowledge that we gave you. That makes you way better than all of those, flatards or those globetards or whatever freaking thing. They get you to think that you're special because you know something that the majority of other people don't. And then instead of using that knowledge and sharing that knowledge and understanding that knowledge, you use it as an excuse to not have to accumulate any more knowledge because you think you're already perfect. That's what narcissism, aka Satanism, actually is. This is an ancient disorder. And occasionally narcissism will bubble over in societies where it'll get about maybe 30% of the population that are narcissists. That population will die, kind of like a plague would wipe out about 30% of the population or something like that, because it's kind of like a mental virus. All right. Now, what a virus does is it'll kill a whole bunch of people, sure. And it'll scare the hell out of many, many others, sure. But it won't kill everybody, because the virus knows that if it gets rid of its food supply, it won't be able to come back. Okay? So that's why it's a constant vigilance that we have to have, and a self-analysis type thing. So that's another thing, that if you are a narcissist like me, you don't like being called a narcissist. And I understand that, you know, and somebody called me a narcissist the other day, but they don't understand what narcissism is, you know. Early childhood abuse and neglect, coupled with a sense of entitlement. Does that make that person evil inherently? No, but your actions do. Okay. I have lied. I have cheated. I have stolen. I have hurt people. Okay. Absolutely. I have. But conveniently, I've been punched in the face for lying, cheating, stealing, and hurting people, okay? So I got taught these lessons in a very painful way, that this is not what you should do. Not necessarily because it's the wrong thing to do, but because you get consequences for your actions, okay? As Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. And that's how you teach somebody with a mental disorder like me. You have to hurt me. You have to show me consequences. Otherwise, I ain't going to learn. And because the narcissists that are in control of society are in bubbles full of the sycophantic scum and never experience any consequences for the shit that they do to society, they only get worse. Mm. Okay? I mean, these people should be praying to be punched in the face. They should be praying to have their jobs taken from them. They should be praying that they get into a really horrible car accident because they cut somebody off and they road raged them and ran them off the road or something like that. They should be praying for consequences for their actions. Because they don't have any consequences for their actions, on the other hand, they don't learn nothing. Okay, so one of my things, I've been thinking very, very violent thoughts. Okay, not violence per se, the defensive use of force. There's two complete difference, right? Violation. Okay, that's where violence comes from. You violating somebody else's body or something like that. That's violence. But if violence is already being visited upon you by these people, and you defend themselves against them, using physical force, are you using violence? No, you're using the defensive use of force. So at what point is these people ever going to be on the front lines and things like that? They'll never be. Okay, they'll never be subjected to the defensive use of force because they've got unlimited mind-controlled slaves to take all the hits and everything for them. So this was my conundrum that I was coming to right now when they demonetized my channel, when they shadow banned me, when they cut me off in the middle of a live stream and stuff like that. How can I hurt them in a way that will actually hurt them and make them stop doing what they're doing? You know what I came up with? Nothing.
I know. I know the feeling, son.
Fuck. All right, so then it was just like, next thought that occurs to you. You can't hurt the people who are hurting humanity, per se, not physically. You can hurt their slaves, you know. You can damage their front men and their propagandists, but they've got millions of them. They'll just pay another one. Okay, so the way that you do it is not by looking at the head of the snake and cutting it off. You look at the tail of the snake. How does somebody become part of its scaly frickin' hide? Schooling. Morality. Okay? Nobody goes to church anymore. I used to go to church as a kid. That might be why I've got morality, or that might be why I'm stupid. I don't know.
It's a fine line, mate.
Well, you know, you try. You do what you can. But the problem with having morality in an immoral world is that you don't have enough allies, essentially. Okay, that's what I'm struggling to deal with.
Yeah,
I got demonetized. Okay, and maybe a couple of $100 of extra donations came in that week that I got demonetized. Nothing really much has happened since then. So that's the amount of support after 10 years. With 3,600 videos, that's, I can get a couple of $100 in support if they cut me off from my money supply.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Okay. Yeah. Am I going to be able to fight the mainstream media? No. Am I going to be able to go to court? No. Am I going to be able to do anything other than die if they decide to shut me down and physically restrain me? No. Nope. The support ain't there, folks. You know why? Because everybody's been raised in this satanic society to think that they don't have to have self-analysis and they don't have to stand up for the people who speak for them while they're having their tongues cut out.
But the people have been taught that they don't have to stand up for themselves because the governments have the best interests, and the majority, they keep just so at a level of intelligence that they work as part of the company. You know, it's a farm. We've all been brought up on a farm. Some of us get traumas and wake up in the farm, and then as soon as you wake up in the farm, you're the idiot.
Yeah. Just like becoming a lot less emotionally open to people's pain recently. Just like, okay. All right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Don't care. All right. Because people are coming at me all the time with aggro, abuse, trolling, and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, you're going to die. Okay. I can't help you. You're going to die. Bye. You know, that kind of thing. That's how the situation is for me. Wow. If somebody hasn't got it by now, they're not my responsibility. I can tell them something that they can't unhear, but it's not my responsibility to convince them of the truth. It's not my responsibility to save their life.
I just have to say one
thing once, and then the rest is up to them. Because that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the difference between being a truther and a slave is that the slave isn't given a choice, okay? But truthers can choose to be slaves, okay? We can. We can absolutely choose that and just go, okay, well, here's a job that really doesn't inspire me creatively whatsoever. I have to get out in traffic in order to go do that. But hey, I can go out drinking on the weekends. I can go on holidays every year. I can do all of this kind of stuff. But you're depressed the whole time. Even while you're on holiday, you're depressed because you're not fulfilling your potential. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not being who you really are. Okay, and I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that the painful reality of being free, okay, is far preferable to me than the comfortable reality of being a slave. I can assure you, being a slave is far more comfortable than being free. Don't tell anybody anything different, ladies and gentlemen. You don't come into this thing like, who did I have my Will Ryan? Oh God! So my ex co-host, he got into this gig with me. I brought him on as co-host. You know, they offered me the gig, but I brought him on as co-host. You know, because I liked him, we were good friends and stuff. He thought that we'd be, you know, making money, you know, Alex Jones style, just selling heaps of products and making shitloads of money. And he quit after 9 months of doing the show because, hey, he wasn't getting paid all this money to sit there for 10 hours a week being on the radio. And it was just like, okay, how many guests did you bring the show? Zero. Oh, okay. How many shows did you edit and upload? Zero. Oh, okay. How many advertisers did you contact to advertise with? Zero. Okay. So you did fucking nothing, and the rewards weren't good enough for you, right? That's the thing. People are very, very selfish and stupid, okay? Myself included, right? The reason for that is because the society has been structured in such a way where to care about other people will exhaust you. All right. You'll become very, very tired, very, very quickly helping traumatized people. I know. Yeah. Trust me.
Psychic okay? vampires.
It's not that they're psychic vampires. It's that they are black holes. Okay. Black holes suck in all light. They suck in all life and they have their own gravity so that they suck you into them. Okay, they suck you into them, and then everything that is good about you, everything that is positive about you, gets sucked out of you. Okay, that's how dangerous it is dealing with traumatized people. There are far too many of them, and you cannot save them all. Okay, you look at it like triage on the battlefield. Sometimes it's necessary to make difficult choices. I would have to say that, you know, in order to save 7 billion people, you know, there's going to have to be maybe 2.5 billion of us that are going to die. Okay? That's a very great cost, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. We have the world's worst military ever devised with incredible technology, shit that we couldn't even imagine. Weapons of war that can kill and destroy and manipulate and even control us like fucking androids and shit. All right. What do you think? There isn't going to be blood? What do you think? It's not going to require a sacrifice? You think it's not going to require you spending your life and your blood seeing a better future brought into fruition? That is what it's going to take. Okay. Everything that you are and everything that you have means nothing unless you're willing to risk it all. Okay? That's the reason why some societies advance much faster than others, because they're willing to take risks. And risks often pay off. But we're not trying to take big risks for big rewards anymore. We're not trying to do that. I don't know why. Well, of course, we've been educated to not, you know, just be afraid all the time, do what they tell you, you know, that kind of thing is just like, oh, dude, for goodness sake, I really can't be bothered anymore. I just really can't be bothered arguing with people. They're going to die. I've got to go over here and save what I can, okay, before it's all gone. And I've got like 3,600 videos on my channel that I've got to somehow download them all and then re-upload them all. It took me 10 years to do that. It's a video a day for 10 years, ladies and gentlemen. Gone. Just because they said so. Oh, you violated our hate speech policy. Really? Where? No reply. You violated our terms of service. Really? Which one? No reply. Okay? No appeals. No nothing. They'll take everything that we've got and then they'll kill us. Okay? So any excuses that you've got, ladies and gentlemen, for keeping on doing what you're doing that isn't trying to stop that eventuality, You're wasting your fucking life. It's probably making you depressed, and you might even kill yourself before you actually wake up and start doing something about these things that you see that you disagree with. Okay, I'm sorry to get all depressed and angry on the show, bro. It's just I'm dealing
with
what
you are.
I'm dealing with a lot of shit right now, you know, and I blame nobody. Okay, nobody but myself.
Yeah,
because I was told by James Corbett to abandon the social media platforms because they're going to censor us in the middle. I didn't listen to him. He's one of my most trusted friends, and I didn't listen to him. And now here I am facing the end of my career.
Yeah, man.
What do I do now? Kind of thing. Do I become some kind of guru? Do I go into the hermit? And it's because I'm in a panic mode. All right. When you're in fear and you're in panic and stuff like that, the ability to think clearly is extraordinarily reduced. And I don't see a way out of it per se. You know, I don't know what I'm
always
doing.
Always a way out, mate. Always a way out.
Yeah, but I can't see it.
Not yet.
Not yet, but to be a wayseer, it's not about being able to see in the dark. It's being able to see the light in the end of the tunnel that's through the darkness. Okay? Yeah. See through to the light on the other side. And I can't see the light anymore, ladies and gentlemen. All I see is blank. That's how harsh having my channel just demonetized and having all these videos and stuff like that deleted. Like I found videos that I didn't even know had been deleted and things like that. They didn't even send me notifications when they do it this time. You know, yeah. I don't know what's going on. I'm completely confused. Don't know what I'm doing with my life. I don't know how this is affecting me psychologically. You know, my worst fear that I've been saying for a while is that I'd get compromised. They might blackmail me, threaten my family, do something like that, and then I'd use all my talents and skills instead of giving you truth, ladies and gentlemen, for fuck all reward. I'd just give you bullshit or distraction and get given millions of dollars. That's what I've given up for you. You know, I could be big, bad, huge, crazy right at this point in size and have no stress whatsoever, banging different chicks every night, snorting cocaine, what have you. I could be happy doing that. But unfortunately, I got traumatized and I realized that my life doesn't actually matter. Okay? Not while I'm a slave. While I'm a slave, no matter how happy I am, no matter how much pussy or drugs or booze or fun or shows I can go to or anything like that, that shit doesn't matter if you're just a slave, okay? So it doesn't matter what you have to sacrifice if you don't want to be a slave, okay? Everything is worthy of sacrifice for freedom's sake, I think. And that's how seriously I take it. So I'm unable to quit. I'm unable to stop doing what I'm doing because it's tied to my survival. It's like, hey, Vinny, why don't you just stop eating and drinking and breathing? You know, that's what somebody's saying. Hey, Vinny, stop doing your show. Stop trying to wake up people, you know. Stop trying to prevent ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery from getting larger and worse. You know, stop doing that, Vinny. What's the point?
I once had a judge tell me that he wasn't going to talk to me anymore while he shuffled his paperwork. And I said, is that because I'm devastating to your case? That's why, Vinny.
Yeah.
You can't tell the truth. And, you know, you're under such attack because New Zealand is quite locked down. I mean, I don't know about the demographics of the population, but it's quite locked down as a society that has been brought up under commercial law. Everybody reacts as the same, you know, the miss. Everybody's well and truly programmed. They've got a grip there. And where they feel they're going to get least resistance, where they've invested the most, money laundering and all that kind of caper, they know that they can control it and they can go at what pace they like. And they're testing. You know, it's like Jurassic Park when the fences are down for the electric fences to be maintained. The dinosaurs test them. That's what these people are doing in reverse to the people. If they get a reaction, they back off, or they give somebody else to look at, and or a disaster to look at, all this stuff. And it's like being sat watching the shadows on Plato's wall, where you're going, oh, hey, that's good. Oh, that's missing. You're reacting to a show. And that's what people can only come to their own conclusion. As long as they've got a sense of what this reality is, they're not interested in learning anything until something traumatizes them, because it shakes the world. It makes you question. If you haven't got any questions, if you believe you know everything, then you get comfortable. And it takes something to change that. And the rest of it, as you said before, it's the fear. The rest of it, the fear factor, well, I'm not going to rock the boat. I'm not going to do that. It was somebody who was I was interviewing today, David Edelman, that said that he always knew that he was going to end up standing out eventually when he goes back to his childhood, where the teacher went out of the class and everybody was daring each other to pull a Mooney to drop the kecks. And nobody volunteered. And he went, wonder why nobody's doing it, so I did it. And it meaning that in the crowd, if he's got something to say, he'll stand up. And that people don't like. And you've got to start, you know, I realised it, that you've got to change your tack. I mean, the work that you've done, it's devastating to think that you could lose any of it. I'm hoping that you've got backup. There's questions in the chat room saying that, have you not got more things going on than YouTube? You know, I've heard of BitTube and things like that. I work within my means, me, Vinny. I do with what I'm working with while it works. You know, I worry about it not working when it doesn't work. It's, you know, I've not invested that kind of stuff into it. But when you built your entire career on it, and this is your drive, it's devastating. I can only understand it as devastating, because you feel that, you know, you get into situations and sometimes it comes down to people you expect to be there weren't there, and people you never expected you'd ever see again turned up and helped you out. And but when you're in the midst of all that darkness, you don't only not realise the help that you're getting, you miss a lot of it, the help that you're getting, but you can't see through that darkness, what you were saying. And I was talking today about being in like a snow globe, where when the trauma happens, all the snow goes up and you're going, oh, what the hell has happened there? And until everything settles and you get to see the picture again, the trauma doesn't set in until you can start asking questions. But that is the bone shaker. That's the questioning.
Mm. I think it's just, it's a tough situation, you know, and I've never really lost a job before that I wasn't happy to lose. I mean, I've got other support, that kind of thing. So for those of you who are in New Zealand, you can use my Kiwi Bank number that's on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and also in the description of the video that we're on right now. And I also have Patreon. So if you're able to support me via PayPal, Patreon, or Kiwi Bank, that's the only way I can get money now, essentially. So super chats are out, apart from on this channel that has like 7,000 subscribers as opposed to like nearly 50,000 on the other one. So, but then YouTube takes like nearly 50% of the super chats anyway and that kind of thing. So it's like, yeah, if you're overseas, probably be recommended that you start up a monthly contribution, maybe like $5 or something, into the Patreon. That's on the link on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And also there's PayPal buttons on there as well. So that's for the overseas people. And if you're a Kiwi, use that Kiwi Bank. Kiwi Bank takes absolutely nothing. So we get all the support every week from people that allows us to survive. And it's been really, really good. During the Christchurch Mosque massacre, I paid off a huge amount of debt with a lot of the donations that I received and got a big water filter, that kind of thing, so we don't have to keep going to the shop to buy $50 worth of water a week. So I didn't have to pay any interest, didn't have to pay any water, and then they cut off my demonetization. So my instinct at that time was to reduce my running costs as much as humanly possible so that if something did happen to me, my running costs would be very, very low and I might still be able to survive on what I'm getting, which I am, only just. So now everybody's been saying, got to move to BitChute or move to Minds.com or Library, freaking whatever. It's just, it's more the fact that I will lose 3,600 videos. I'll lose the 100 videos that I did for Penny Bright, who's no longer with us anymore. What am I going to do? Another 100 videos with her? I'm going to lose the 80 or so videos of Evelyn Gilbert, another activist friend of mine. She's dead. She's dead too. The two playlists of these two great women who mentored me more than pretty much anybody else in the truth movement and government corruption and waking up to that shit, gone. You know, I mean, I've still got the originals on dozens of hard drives scattered about the place, and it's just more the fact that it took me 10 years to make all that stuff. So maybe I could get it right back up again in about half the time. You know, it's just,
maybe you will, but you just can't see it from where you're at right now.
You know, that's the thing. I had so many possibilities. I can write something.
There's a grieving process, isn't there, when something devastating that's going to change your world, you can see it encroaching and encroaching, and you're realizing, you're waking up that there's nothing you can do about this. Not one man can do everything, but when it's your livelihood as well as your passion, you know, there's a grieving process that you go through there, man.
The problem is that most people never reach acceptance. They just get stuck in stage four, which is depression.
Yeah.
You know, so was in denial, and then my thing got demonetized. Then I got angry. Yeah. And now I might be approaching the bargaining process like, oh, what do I do? Do I do this or do I do that? Nope, you can't do any of that, Vinny, because you'll compromise your integrity. You'll start hating yourself, and then you'll start resenting all the other people and start treating them like shit. You know, that was the thing. If I stop doing what I'm doing, I'll become a bad person. I know that I will.
It keeps you focused.
No, it keeps me afraid. All right.
Doing what fear you're doing, I mean.
Yeah. Fear gets me out of bed in the morning. Yeah. All right. Fear makes me work long into the night. Fear makes me care about people. Fear makes me do things that I'm afraid to do. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Fear rules my fucking life. And I can't do anything without fear motivating me, essentially. And so every conversation I have on this, I'm afraid of getting censored. And that's the reason why I keep having conversations like this.
Yeah,
every time I do something in the real world, I'm afraid that there'll be consequences to me. And when I do get consequences, I'm grateful for them. All right? Here's the thing. If you do what Penny Bright told me, is that you have to do one thing every day that scares you, all right? And then she died of cancer because she was too afraid to try cannabis oil. You know? The roads that we take to avoid the things that we fear are often the only road that we need to take in order for those things to happen, you know?
Into our lives with parts of those puzzles like those two people did. They, as you said, they mentored you. They get with that fear and that focus. You've got a belief. You've got to a stage now where you're going to grow again. You just can't see it yet because it's quite raw still, man.
Yeah. So I'm dealing with the loss of great activists, and you know, when Aaron Russo died, that was a big blow. You know, when Charlie McGrath from Wide Awake News died, I didn't know until maybe 3 months later. I'd had him on my show. I'd been on his, you know, good mates and that kind of thing. I didn't even know he died. And I was thinking a lot lately about Michael Kamen, the guy who composed the soundtrack to Die Hard. He's dead. George Carlin, greatest comedian. He's dead. Bill Hicks, he's dead. It reminded me of what J.R. Tolkien was talking about. He says he longed to walk with men who are dead, talking languages that it hadn't been heard for 1,000 years. You know, a man in love with history, who sees that all the potential used to be back there and it's not here anymore. You know, that's what he longed to do. And maybe that's maybe that's what we're destined to do. We're destined to run out this game here until our time runs out, and then we just play that game again. And it's a losing battle every single time we get incarnated or some shit. I don't know, you know. I'm just so freaking confused by everything because I had some stability in my life. I mean, when this Christchurch Mosque Massacre thing started happening, for the first time ever, I had this thing called spare income. I was just like, what the fuck is this? I didn't... Yeah. I had no idea, you know. Didn't
even makes a difference, doesn't it?
And then they took it away from me. Just as soon as it was there, then it was gone. And I'm glad that I was responsible with that huge amount of donations and stuff like that. Well, I could, you know, bought a few pieces of new technology. We threw our old couches out, and then the wife got this $1 one on Trade Me, and that was horrible. So we got a new couch that's actually really comfortable. It's like, yes. I don't know if people understand, but comfort is something that we spend our lives trying to attain. And I think that's because we're trying to ignore the discomfort of life that we always experience, you know? So I'm trying to be really comfortable. I'm trying to have time off. I'm trying to give myself some, you know, headspace and stuff like that. And it's not working.
And I don't know what.
No. I mean, this must be the most depressing show I've ever done. I'm sorry, Paul.
You said you never knew what you was going to say, mate. You've just, you know, it's about speaking your truth, pal. I mean, you've had something that's come along that's, you know, it's threatening a lot. You're talking about your wife. You're talking about a roof over your head. You're talking about comfort. You know, there's people living in basements and tents in Ireland because the governments are doing what they're doing. And they didn't even have a platform to say anything about it. They've just one of the casualties of what this economic war is doing on people. You know, the Agenda 21, the attack, the demographics, the Kalergi plan, all this kind of caper. People don't join the dots because people don't even go and look at the initial stuff. And that's what the issue was. That's why important subjects that you were covering, if you were going completely against the narrative that is being broadcast around the world as, you know, this was promoted as, you know, there was all kinds of agendas behind it, gun control, all this kind of caper there, and passing new laws, you then expose it as a possible, well, whatever, government op, PSYOP, whatever people want to say, but you're getting prosecuted for sure in it. You know, there's something not right when you're being clamped down like that and you have no rights over there. You haven't got that freedom of speech. Everything is civil law over there. It's the same over here that's what they want to convert to. So the common law is completely ignored. It's all through that commercial law, and that's where their jurisdiction is. And they've got that power hungry and greedy, and they think they can just do anything now. And you said about the balance. The men who could stand up to this, to wake up and do something about it, have been so abused, you know, as a category. They've separated into the feminist, and all these have testosterone up with steroids and everything, and they've put a bloody army. And it's been ramped up over there because you've got all the wealth, as in money laundering. You've got the liquidity that's going through there. You've got where all the tax-free stuff goes. Over in England, they've started. I always draw a line at Nottingham, and anywhere lower down, they've ramped it up slowly but surely. It's now starting to open in pockets in the north because they know that the north has always been more bombastic and saying, oh, hang on a minute, you can't do that type thing. And the southerners have always been more conformative. It's always been that way. So when you've got no change like that happening, and then change starts to happen very slowly, and you've got that separation, and you're attacking that masculinity where somebody might be able to say, hey, hang on a minute, you can't do that. Well, you can't say that, that's racist. No, I don't mean it like that. And everybody starts attacking you for being racist. You've turned a society and a community on itself, and you've used it through propaganda, you've used it through schooling, you've used it through TV, Hollywood, all this stuff. The kids have been just attacked horrendously. And those generations have formed that that divide, what you were talking about. And as soon as we divide, that's the conquer. The balance has to come back.
Mark Passio is probably the only guy that I know of so far has identified the fight. Okay, we've identified the conspiracy, that's Agenda 21, but what's the fight, all right? And the fight is actually morality, all right? If you have a moral society, you will have a free society. We have an immoral society, and guess what? We have tyranny, okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I had this good line in the my upcoming film. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we did a 48-hour film competition over last weekend. And one of the lines from it, I forget what it is now, but it was called Everything Wrong with the World in 5 Minutes or Less. So I talk about all the things that I see that are wrong with society, just for like 5 minutes, and you're like, oh my God, you know, things are really, really bad. And I say, yeah, exactly, you know. And in the end, I blamed you.
Me?
You. No. You in general, okay? Speaking to the audience and everybody who's listening, you are to blame for all of society's ills right now. Okay, now don't think that I'm blaming you. It's your responsibility to do something about it. And because we haven't all fulfilled our responsibilities to be moral, be ethical, and to stand up against tyranny, we have all failed. It is all our fault. Okay, and once we accept responsibility for that, then we can do something about it, but not before. That's the real problem with it as well. It's like
we have to stop blaming everybody else, haven't we? We've got to realise at least our part, our responsibility.
That's right, but I'm a child, okay? So what that means is I want mummy to stroke my hair and sing me a little song when I go to bed. I want daddy to help me out when I'm in trouble, that kind of thing. So throughout my radio career, I've sought out people who were older, wiser, had more resources than me, who were willing to help and that kind of thing. Because essentially I'm a child and I'm looking for parental guidance, help and things like that, because I do not believe that I am yet a man. Okay, that's what I'm dealing with throughout my entire life, is essentially this constant feeling of inadequacy. And the only times when I don't really feel inadequate is when somebody who I feel is very wise and very genuine gives me pieces of advice that I haven't heard before that help me to understand the perspective and the complex nature of who and what I am and what I'm here to do. Those kind of things, they make me feel full, they make me feel good, but only for a very short period of time, and then that sensation disappears and I've got nothing left. That's what's problematic about being me, because at the same time I'm trying to mentor people, I'm trying to help them, I'm trying to teach them, I'm trying to tell them the truth and things like that, but the only reason why I'm doing that is because other people did that for me. Okay, and I feel that I'm in an inadequate passageway for people to really fit through. Okay, so this show, and I think Mark Passio talked about this on his show, is that if you're listening to this show, you're in a very, very, very tight little tiny group of people. Okay, there are very, very few people, maybe less than 0.5% of the population would be even capable of listening to this show and enjoy it. Okay. And that's not because you're special or anything like that. It's probably, ladies and gentlemen, because like me, like Mark Passio, you've seen some shit, haven't you? And you don't like it. And you want to do something about it. And you ain't seeing anything done. So you find the people who are doing something about it. You learn from them until such a time as you can then activate yourself and go out there and do that stuff. Yeah. At that moment, right then, that's when you stop listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show. That's when you stop listening to whatonearthishappening.com, because you don't need us anymore, because we gave you your knowledge and you can go off and you can be an adult okay? Nobody has done that for me yet. I haven't had that realization, oh my God, I'm an adult. Oh my God, I'm a leader. Oh my God, I've got all these responsibilities. That hasn't even happened for me yet, ladies and gentlemen. And look at all I've achieved. 3,600 videos, over 1,000 activists, over 10 years. There are people who live today who would have killed themselves had it not been for my show and the work that I've been doing. There are people who live today who would have given up their activism entirely and gone and worked in the corporate world if they hadn't come on the show and been reinvigorated. Okay? There are people who are still doing things, who used to do things because of the show, and there are people who used to do nothing, who used to be nothing, who changed that fact because they were listening to this show. Now, does that mean that I'm responsible for what they decided to do with their own frickin' lives? No. They made the choice. Okay? They decided to start working. They decided to start doing something, not me. So you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're doing something, I need you to take full credit for it. Thank the people who've given you the knowledge, sure, but understand that it's your hard work, not your gift and your talents or anything like that, but it's your hard work in the material realm that actually, truly matters and gives you fulfillment. If you're not doing that, the world doesn't make any sense, and it never will until you start. The truth is the greatest enemy of the state. That's a quote from Joseph Goebbels, the Minister of Propaganda and Public Enlightenment. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're telling the truth, you're an enemy of the state. Okay? Understand? Right now, you, I, and everybody listening to this, we are enemies of the state, and the state will find us, and they will kill us.
MI5 is listening to this.
Well, one can only hope. Hi, guys. Good evening.
It's even worse on my phone. It's even worse on my phone, mate.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's nothing to give up. There is nothing to sign. There is no negotiating with these people. Okay, I've used it's the Terminator. Okay? The people who are running society are the Terminator. They can't be bargained with. They can't be reasoned with. Okay? And they absolutely will not stop until you and I and everybody you love is gone and ashes and dust. Okay?
Skynet.
So, ladies and gentlemen, negotiate away. Pontificate away. Go for your fucking life. You're going to get exterminated.
Some will march happily down that line, you know. That's the trouble. Those who have ears will hear. Those who have eyes will see, mate. I would love to say I've done stuff right, and you said take the credit for it, but you woke up so many people by just giving platforms and spreading information and talking about the stuff. And, you know, the fact that those activists made those choices freely of their own will has got to reflect onto you. So, I mean, you've got to go by your own principles and take that credit. And when you say that's not enough, you don't know. I get the financial side and stuff like that, but you have created something, pal. You've made a difference in this world. And when you talk about those few people that you and Mark was talking about, those few people is only what's ever changed anything in the world. It's never been a majority.
Yeah, that's right. I can't change the world, okay? But we can, okay? I can change myself.
Yes.
I can put myself as an example. Other people will see a better example of somebody who's living their own truth, who's being genuine, who's actually accomplishing something. And then they stop lying to themselves. They stop lying to other people. And then they actually start accomplishing something with their life and live in right livelihood. Okay? That's the whole fucking idea. It doesn't matter whether you're Jesus, Buddha, or Krishna, or any of these other religious figures. They all were speaking the exact same truth, the one truth, ladies and gentlemen. Learn something, who, what, when, where, why, how. Understand something, so if somebody asks you who, what, when, where, why, how, you can answer them, just like that. And then your obligation is to teach what you've learned to other people, period. That is the purpose of your life, that is the purpose of mine, that is the purpose of everybody's life. And the longer that you keep walking away from your purpose, the worse your life and the world will become.
I tried to walk off my path so many times in the last 10 years and it just got worse and worse and worse until you just let go, you know, row your boat merrily down the stream, because the more you fight against work, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's people that want to do things and go places. You were on about people going into the corporate world. I know people who love it in the corporate world, they excel. They understand this stuff, but they're still going to go and do that. So there's a balance what they bridge to be able to do that, because the stuff I learned, I can't just go back to that conformity. That's why I had to draw a line. I couldn't take everything on though, Vin, and I didn't have the pressure of, you know, in again, you're in a, like a Skynet tight Skynet community there that is controlled from all angles. Who do you go to? I witnessed it when, you know, when property's stolen, I was taught you go and report it to the police. The police help them steal me property. Where do I go? What do I do? Well, I've got to take them to court. I've got to take the police force to court. They investigate themselves, these people. How am I going to win? You know, it's that thing where that realization of what the hell is going on? Who's going to do something? The thing is, you've got to try and survive first and foremost. You've got to try and survive if they, like yourself, they're potentially going to cut you off metaphorically and you're not going to be able to get your information out. How do you go about it? You'll adapt because you're going through this, Vin. And once you come through the other side, mate, that's the key, is to get through that other side. It's how you deal with it, and nobody can help you deal with it. You've got to deal with it in your way, and it's always going to be your own way. You've just got to hope that you've got to that, still got that drive, and you can still get through it. And the people that come into your life, the ones that are unexpected, some that you don't even meet or see, just give you something that one day, that one little line. You know, everything's here for a reason. Anyway, there's about 3 minutes left. If you want to wrap up.
That was actually what I was about to do. I've just been saying in the chat room of my YouTube simulcast that's going while we're doing this. If you guys want to actually join me on a private Skype call after the show. Okay. This is the thing, folks, is that we're all in this together, and I understand that when I first got to interview David Icke, for example, I was skipping around the house like a little schoolgirl and shit like that. I went right through a door frame on the upskip, and I'm 6'6", and then hit with full force my head in the door frame. Ever since then, my wife has called me Skippy. Okay. And the reason why I was so excited and often am is because you're talking with people that you may have seen quite a lot of, or you might have heard them quite a bit, but you've never actually been able to interact with them in real time, on the other hand. And then when you do, you feel elated, you feel better, you know, that kind of thing. You feel sort of inspired. You know, that's what David Icke, James Corbett, Mark Passio, and all of these people have done for me. And it wasn't until Christchurch Mosque Massacre that there's a bunch of people in this country and around the world who get that same kind of excitement when they get an opportunity to talk to Vinnie Eastwood. They're like, oh my God, I'll get to talk to Vinnie Eastwood and shit. And I'm just like, for fuck's sake, just but in either case, I want to offer you the opportunity to do that just after the show now. Add me on Skype, vincent.eastwood. All right, vincent.eastwood, the description's in the chat room here, or send me an email, gorilla Mr. News, gorilla like a soldier, mrnews@gmail.com. So just send me the Skype contact request or send me an email with your Skype handle, and we'll have a little get together after the show here today. This is the first time I've done this in 8 years, having an after show Skype discussion with the audience. I remember them being really fun and uplifting, because it's so much better when we're together and you don't have to explain yourself or worry about somebody calling you a fucking conspiracy theorist if you say the wrong thing, you know what I'm saying?
Or a dickhead. Well, Vinny, thank you for reaching back to the past from the future, because it's, what, coming up for 10 a.m. there now?
Yeah.
It's 11 p.m. here, so a lot more people will probably be watching this, you know, in the upcoming days and that. But I'll look forward to seeing what the comments are on the after show. So I'll keep my eyes peeled for that. If you can, send us a link to it anyway. And, you know, all the best for the future, mate. Like I said, I'd love to have got you on the show at the first off, because you were the first man to give me that chance to get my information out.
And that was when I was on holiday.
And that's what it's all about. It's all about making these connections. And the thing is, you were talking about those few, a lot of grassroots. And the grassroots are now shaking up more people at grassroots level. But the good thing from my experience in particular is I'm speaking to people wherever their agendas are. They are making information out that is alerting and signifying things that have been going on for a long time. And it's all part of a control mechanism through a banking system, through a schooling system, through a prison system, justice system. It's all interlinked. And, you know, you summed it up with Agenda 21 is a really good clue about where they want to end up. You know, we might laugh at Hunger Games and stuff like that. It's time to just get that little bit serious. You know, what's the omnibus of the soap opera? And you do a little bit. But most people don't have time, and that's one of the things we suffer with. Anyway, thanks for your time, Vin, and I look forward to sharing more information and being on more shows with you and having a lot more conversation, brother. Good luck with everything, and I know you'll come through the other side. You always do, son.
Well, two things I'd like to say. Number one, keep up the good work. What do I mean by that? I mean the good work is to find out what it is you want to find out that actually interests you, fully understand it, and then share that knowledge with others so that they can then begin to understand it. That's the good work. That's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing. And that's what people actually really mean when they say keep up the good work. All right? Yeah. So, Paul, keep up the good work, brother.
Always.
And the last thing, please give me money, ladies and gentlemen. Like,
money does not exist. I keep telling you this. When are you going to learn?
It doesn't exist, but food does, and they need you to give them something that doesn't exist in order to replace it with something that does exist so that you can continue to fucking exist. So,
only as long as they allow that. Only as long as they allow it.
Yeah. When I get my chip and everything like that, then they'll there just turn go. It off. And, but in either case, ladies and gentlemen, I've been demonetized. They've taken about 30% of my monthly revenue away from me as a result of just the demonetization alone. So if you do want to support me, support the show, that kind of thing, while I'm going through this very turbulent time, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. And go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, make a donation. I mean, I might have done probably the most depressing show I've done in quite some time today, but hopefully I'll be financially rewarded for it, because depressing people and entertaining them and distracting them from anything that's real seems to be where the money comes from. Anyway, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your attention. And the last thing I'll do is I'm going to bow.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again, sir. It's been nice. I look forward to continuing the relationship and knowing you, but it's been nice knowing you, because you do your bit, mate. You know, that's all you can do. And, you know, you've worked hard, and all the best in the future. Take care, my friend.